This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to Lieutenant Colonel in the Reserves in the IDF, Eyal Dror. Lieutenant Colonel, you mentioned that this is history in the making. What are the implications of this attack on the region?
So I think that we are in an ongoing procedure. The ongoing means that the Shia axis, the Shia threat, is losing its power. We see it, by the way, on Hezbollah's statement. Hezbollah, which was the biggest proxy of Iran, just, of course, condemned the IDF attack. However, they said that they will not open an attack against Israel. And Hezbollah, this was the goal why he was built, that if Israel will attack Iran, he will be able to attack us. And also you heard that the government of Lebanon demand from Hezbollah, sit on a fence, do not be a part of the party between Israel and Iran. I do believe that the Middle East is going to be a safer place after this attack. I do believe that if the Western world will not interfere, and if we will have a little bit more courage and understanding, it will support Israel and help Israel, not just to destroy the missiles industries and the nuclear program, to change the regime in the Middle East. Changing this radical, corrupted regime will make the Middle East a better place to live, a much more stabilized place to live for, first of all, for its own civilians. Second, just imagine the implication of economic, which you know that this is not a war area, which you know that countries can be rebuilt itself from the beginning, step away from terror. So I do believe that can be huge implications about that. Again, we need to continue. We need that the world will be support, although it might be in the short term. Short term can be cause some even economic damages. I know that, or challenges. I know that now the cost of the diesel fuel rise a little bit. I can tell you, I know that my business is in Israeli is going to suffer, like in the next month. I'm have a business of having a lecture to tourist groups. Well, I do believe that in the next couple of days, tourists will not arrive Israel. I think is a price that all of us, Israelis and non-Israelis, should pay, because then the world in the long range, the world will be a safer place. You don't have a place in the world for leaders that murdering their own people and calling to destroy another country. And I think that Israel just opened an opportunity to do that, because a lot of from their senior commanders has been eliminated. They have a chaos inside the country. Well, they just need one more step. And the Iranian people, which are poor people who have suffered for 50 years from the dictatorship, they will have the courage and the ability to change their radical regime to much more moderate regime, which believe in democracy on real and not a dictatorship and not radical ideas.
Lieutenant Colonel, you speak about you said that what happened early this morning is continuing. What exactly is happening militarily in Iran?
So at 3 a.m., I think it was when the first sirens hit Israel. Of course, we all were sleeping. We had some programs for today, but the 3 a.m. Sirens hit it. The first stage, because it was a surprise, again, I will try to explain it. When you have a missile storage, it's not something that you can move in a second. When you have the nuclear sites on Natanz, for example, it's not a place that you can move it for a second. Commanders, they will move. So the first stage was a massive, surprising attack on humans, people. high-rank commanders, the commander of the IRGC, the commander of their air force, the commander that was responsible about building the IRGC for a war, and very high-ranked generals, and a lot of doctors and engineers that connected to the nuclear project. So when you shut them down in the first attack, again, it's a surprise. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes after, it would be much more difficult. So the first stage was attacking people and attacking some infrastructure. For example, the defensive infrastructures, the anti-airplanes missiles that you want to hit in order that your airplanes will be able to move and to maneuver freely. So defensive system, and then you hit the active systems, drone factories, missiles industries, missile launching sites, in order to decrease the ability of the enemy to take its revenge and to shut down. And the fourth stage or the fifth stage is to attack those nuclear sites. It's just been published that Natanz, which is one of the biggest one of them, and according to the media or according to what has been published, the Iranian was on the way to make it like much more protected, that the IDF will not be able to hit it in a couple of days. So it was destroyed, and the waves are continuous because Iran is a big country. They are dedicated like the last 50 years to make those terror infrastructure. So every wave you are attacking more sites of industry of the UAVs, more of drones, more sites of missiles, more sites connected to the nuclear, and it will continue. And in between, you have the IDF's defense system that, for example, destroyed the 100 drones that has been launched, missiles that has been launched. So it will be an ongoing conflict for the next couple of days, I think.
And I'm not going to ask you this question, but I'm tempted to. How many women pilots are you sending over to bomb Iran?
A lot, of course. We will not show the correct number, but a lot. I can tell you that there is plenty of IDF men and women and Mossad warriors and intelligence, logistics, healthcare, secure. A lot of people are dealing and taking a part in this historic effort. And thanks God, until now we are like almost 12 hours since the first attack, almost 12 hours. All of our people are feeling great, not damages caused to the IDF, which is the most important part.
Well, you said earlier, your business is going to suffer, and I know that you will. I know that 2 years ago when I met you, you were in a hotel because you had to move out of your home because of the attacks in the north. So you were very dismissive of the fact that the lives of Israelis have been absolutely uprooted since October the 7th and continue to be uprooted. And I just wonder what's the mood of Israelis at the moment?
So yes, I can tell you personally about myself. I retired from the IDF 2019. I opened my business. We have COVID. Oh, everyone is forgetting that we had COVID, but for 2 years we had a COVID. It was not affecting only Israel, but for my own business, it was shut down almost completely. And then, like 18 months of recovery, and then October 7th, I was recruited for 450 days to the reserve service, to my unit. My family was evacuated to the hotel, and we came back only 3 months ago. And only in the last month, we started to see tourists coming and coming also up the north. So we have difficulties and we have challenges. However, nobody said that it's easy to be an Israeli. It's a huge pride to be an Israeli, but it is not the most easier life. It's a price that I will not be able to talk in the name of all the Israelis, but I do believe that it is a price that we can all pay, because we understanding that for our children, this is a price that we should sacrifice now, and hopefully, the future will be better, because when the share axis will fall, our life will be much better. Tourists will come, and Israel will rise again.
We have like 5 minutes remaining, and I just want to ask you. I know you are specifically knowledgeable about Syria because of your connection, and obviously the founder of a good neighbor, good friend, neighbor project,
The Good Neighbor
good
Project.
neighbor project, which we don't have time to talk about. But what are the implications of what happened in Iran in Syria?
What are?
The implications of what happened, how will it affect what happens in Iran in Syria?
So I don't really know yet. What we can say that what has happened since October 7 made another historic change in the Middle East, the falling of the Assad regime, and it was connected to the war with Hezbollah, the defeat of Hezbollah. I can say that Operation Good Neighbor, which, by the way, I wrote a book about it, Embracing the Enemy, telling this story, has its impact on Syria. I think that, and it might be very strange to say, but Israel and Syria regarding to Iran has a mutual interest. The current regime, a Sunni regime, is worried from Iran, and they did a lot of efforts to eliminate him or to send him away from their country. I remind you, the Iranian did in Syria whatever they wanted in the days of the Assad regime. Assad, the president, didn't allow them to be in Syria. So I think that there is, again, I think that the Shara and a lot of Syrians, and you have seen it in social media, saying thanks to Israel and celebrating the attacks, because they remember and they knew that who slaughtered them for years was Iran and its proxies. So we have a mutual goal in that issue.
Lieutenant Colonel, thank you so much for joining me. I know this we had planned to chat about something else, but I can't think of better timing to have had you as my guest than today. So thank you very much, and I hope we can chat a lot more going forward because I think there's so much more we need to explore.
Was privilege and an honor, and we will be safe, and I will be happy to
Yeah.
talk whenever you want.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And please know that, we here in South Africa, the Jewish community, are very Zionistic, and we stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Israel. And whatever you're going through, we feel your pain. So our thoughts are with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Lieutenant Colonel Eyal Dror, and I'm looking forward to having him as my guest again. But what are the implications of what happened early this morning in South Africa? And I am also delighted to have the CEO of the CSO, Liron Sandler, as my guest now, just to kind of tell us what we can expect.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming.
Great. So I think really from our side, the message is we are communicating with the community. We are sending out as many updates as we can. They may seem limited, but what we communicate is focused, and really what we want the community to understand and take out from what's happening around the world.
What is your recommendation to South African Jewish community?
So our recommendation is very simple. We want you guys to carry on as per normal, as best as possible, to be completely honest. We are here to ensure that you guys can continue living your lives to the standard norm, and we will implement the relevant security procedures to make sure that happens.
So we are turning to our community, go to shul, do not worry, life as normal.
Carry on. Carry on doing what you would have done as if this didn't happen. However, be a bit more aware.
Okay. If something happens that somebody is feeling unsafe or unsure about, what should we do? What are the precautions?
So the first and the most important thing is, if you're concerned, feeling unsafe, or you feel like something is suspicious or out of the norm, phone us straight away on our emergency call number. What's very important is we've got dedicated teams working throughout, and they are there to deal with any uncertainty you as a community have.
So, Liron, in terms of what we can expect, is there anything you said to look out? What's suspicious? What should make us anxious?
Good question. I can't give you the direct answer to what is suspicious, unfortunately. I wish I had that answer because it would make life a lot easier for everyone else. But anything that makes you feel uncomfortable or that you haven't seen before, so anything out of the ordinary, and generally what I say is you'll have an ick in your stomach and you'll feel a little bit uneased, and that's when something is suspicious. And even if it isn't, tell us. Let us tell you that it isn't suspicious, actually. So anything that gives you that little ick or you're looking over your shoulder twice, let that be the telltale sign.
You say you're communicating with the community, which is absolutely brilliant. There's so much, though, fake news going around, people saying don't go to shul, blah, blah, blah. How do we know what is real, what is fake, and what should we do to tell the difference?
So you've got to be very selective on what you're reading and trust the source. So again, saying trust the source is very broad because some agencies you seem to trust them, but maybe you can't. So any communal organization, I would say, is a relevant place to trust the information that's coming across. So any community organizations that are putting out letters, giving you advice, they are sifting through the fake news, they're finding the real news, and they're communicating the essentials that you need to know.
So I just would like you to give us assurance that anything that comes from the Jewish community will be tagged, well, I don't know what the right word is, a logo. So the Jewish Board, the Designers Federation, the CSO, will be sending out communications. Those are the communications to listen to, and they will be labeled. What's the word I'm looking for?
Branded.
Branded. Thank you.
Yes. So yeah. So as a Jewish communal organizations, I think we work phenomenally well together, and we all align quite strategically on communications and what we should be telling our community. So any communication that comes out from any one of the trusted communal organizations that has the official branding, that is on their official letterheads, is something that can be trusted, in my opinion.
Please just give us that number.
Yeah, the number is 086 18 000 18.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for taking the time. And just to reaffirm that we need to carry on living our lives. We are safe in the hands of the CSO and the community. And that was Liron Sandler giving us that information. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just before we go to our break, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you are having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside. Dis-Chem Pharmacies, better health starts here.